السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاة والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ، ونشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ، ونشہد ان سیدنا ونبینا وشفیعنا ومولانا محمدا عبدہ ورسولہ. قال الله تبارك وتعالى، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولقد آتينا لقمان الحكمة أن اشكر لله، ومن يشكر فإنما يشكر لنفسه، ومن كفر فإن الله غني حميد. صدق اللہ العظیم. علماء کرام، موسٹ ریسپیکٹڈ برادرز اینڈ اور سسٹرز لسننگ اوور ریسیورز، وی ہیو بین ڈسکسنگ دس آیت آف دا قرآن شریف اینڈ مینی ادر نصیحت آف حضرت لقمان علیہ السلام. آئی ہیو ایکسپلینڈ وٹ دا علماء ہیو سیڈ، وٹ دا مفسرین ہیو سیڈ ود ریگارڈز ٹو دا حکمہ دیٹ اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ بلیسڈ ہم ود. And we discussed a number of issues. Thereafter, we came in close to the month of Ramadan and we switched over to some other topics. So we missed out on one or two things in that incident that is related to Hazrat Luqman alayhi salam. Where Hazrat Luqman alayhi salam was sitting with a number of people, there was a very large gathering. And in that gathering, while she was addressing those people, giving them nasihat, giving them advices, a person said that, "Oh Luqman, are you not that same shepherd that used to graze the sheep? Are you not that same person that used to graze the cattle? Then what is it that made you reach these heights?" The question was that what made you reach these heights, that Allah Ta'ala blessed you with this hikmah and all the other explanations that I've given of hikmah. But what is it that made you reach this height that people are coming from all sides, they are listening to you, they are congregating around you, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave you this kind of a position and rank. So there must have been something that you have been doing. So from this we learn that there is something that we have to do to reach those stages of the awliya-i-kiram. We just want to relax and wish for everything to happen, then it doesn't happen like that. In this world of means, we adopt the means when it comes to our business, we adopt the means when it comes to other matters. So Hazrat Luqman said that the reason that Allah Ta'ala gave me this position and rank is because of a few things that I do, or I did. Of course, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had chosen him to give him that hikmah. But the thing is that there has to be some a'mal also and actions also that go together with it, which becomes the sabab and the means. But we are not allowed to say and state that it is because of this amal that I did, and that is why Allah Ta'ala gave me this status and position. As Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, he was trying to teach the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that was coming, and those that were congregated, that what were those actions and those a'mal that made him reach such heights. But if we are able to gain anything, if we are able to make some namaz, zikr, tilawat, ibadat, then we must always look at the deficiencies, the weakness and the shortcomings in that ibadat, that zikr, that tilawat, and ask Allah Ta'ala to accept it with His fazal, with His kindness. And don't think that we have really done something very great. This was Hazrat Luqman alayhi salam. He had the right to mention some of the actions which he believed were instrumental in gaining him this high position and rank and this love in the hearts of the people. Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that the first thing there, I will just go through it quickly and then mention those two things or three things that we had left out. He had said that the lowering of my gaze, now this is the first thing that he mentioned. And this is the most difficult thing for us in our times. Irrespective of who the person is, from which area he is, which country he is, most of the people who are talking about islah of their a'mal, of a reformation and change in their lives, The greatest weakness is the control of the gaze. That's the greatest weakness. We can't control gaze. If it is not on the streets and in the bazaars and in the marketplaces, then it is on the porn sites of the internet or the television screen. Somewhere along the line, this great ni'mat and bounty of sight is being abused. And yet everybody knows that what a great ni'mat it is if Allah Ta'ala has to snatch away the sight. Of course, those who do not have sight, we must not think that they have been punished by Allah Ta'ala, because some of them Allah Ta'ala takes away the sight and He gives them basirat. He takes the basarat and gives them basirat. They may not be able to see with their two eyes, but Allah Ta'ala gives them some kind of basirat in their hearts. And Allah Ta'ala gives them some other kinds of skills. We have had with our students in our student days in India, where they were blind, totally blind. We had to do some revision, go to the libraries, make some research, do this, do that. They had to do nothing. They sit in the class, they just listen to the lesson one time and finish. That is sufficient, and it's recorded in their minds and memories, and they became excellent hafiz of the Quran Sharif, huffaz of the Quran Sharif. So that is Allah Ta'ala's fazal. But we are talking about a general matter that we all know that sight is such a great ni'mat, and the greatest abuse that we do is of this sight. That we say that it is impossible to restrain ourselves from watching all the pretty faces in the bazaars and marketplaces. If it was impossible, would Allah Ta'ala have made it a hukam and a command? For business reasons, in professions and other places, sometimes they have to see that is a different thing. But they too make plenty of istighfar and tawbah over the haram enjoyment that the eyes has taken sometimes. So this is the first thing that he mentioned. The second thing he said was sidq. That means truthfulness in my speech. So therefore he says, stay truthful, stay honest. And then stay steadfast on that honesty. Two things. One is to be honest, and the other one is to stay steadfast on that honesty. It's not that now if the person sees that he is going to gain by speaking lies after having spoken the truth, so now he changes his story and starts speaking lies. He must not be like the chameleon. He says, must stay honest and truthful, and then stay steadfast on that honesty. This also we discussed at length. Because these are the things, these are the amal that will get the person that kind of respect and dignity. And the whole ummah can do those amal. The third thing that he mentioned, or there may be a little change in the tartib, but the thing is, he says that when you are promising, then make sure that you fulfill the promise. The promise that you make sure that you fulfill the promise. This is another thing across the board today in South Africa or other parts of the world. People are complaining that we are supplying goods, or we are giving loans, or we are helping and assisting, believing that that person is going to keep to his promise and pay on time. Now, due to unforeseen circumstances, that person suffered a terrible loss, or the business collapsed, or got burnt, or something like that happened, then it is a different thing. Or suddenly there was recession and depression and all that. So if that happened, then we will say that it is an exception. But where the people are just taking others for a ride, as they say, hook, line and sinker, with sweet talk and with convincing speech, when they are being given goods or given loans or given assistance and help, and then there is no intention of fulfilling that promise, so it has a whole chain reaction. It has a whole chain reaction. Because the person who gave that loan, the person who supplied that goods, now he has made promise to his suppliers, and he has made promise to his suppliers. We don't know where it's coming from. Now if this first person, he does not fulfill the terms of the contract and the promise that he has made, so then it has a chain reaction. So many other people are affected by the non-payment of those dues. So if the person is making a promise, then he must make sure that he fulfills the terms of the agreement. If again, as I said, due to unforeseen circumstances, if there is a delay and he cannot, then he must not walk the other side of the street. He must meet the person, ask him for an extension of time, ask him for, apologize for the delay, whatever it is. But this promise thing was the distinguishing feature of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life. How he fulfilled his promises. Look at the number of incidents, how many I have quoted to you already. So this promise fulfillment, as Luqman alayhi salam said, that was another feature that made me rise to these heights. which you are seeing me, that whenever I made a promise, I made sure that I fulfilled the terms of that promise. Otherwise, the person's respect is gone. If the person, he defaults one time, then will that person give him supplies again? Will that person give him again loan? Therefore, it is better to borrow from Paul and pay Peter, as they say. But don't default on the promise that the person has made. Because if a person has borrowed from one person, and the time is due, and due to unforeseen circumstances, not the fulfillment of one's passions and desires, and for the sake of luxuries, the person is taking loans, if it is for genuine reason, and he is unable to meet up the commitment, then meet the person, talk to him, ask him for extension of time, apologize, explain to him what is the reason for the delay. Then if that person has to swear, or he has to curse, or he has to become angry, then we must accept it, we must tolerate it, we must say he has a right to demand and ask. Why should we get upset if the person is asking? Look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam seerah. So therefore, he says that was the third thing, or fourth thing. Then he says control of chastity, that means zina, is a protection from zina. Now if the person can control his gaze, then he will control himself from zina. But if he can't control his gaze, then he won't protect himself from zina also. Because it is the gaze that will lead to zina. How else is he going to go there? So therefore, he says that that was another thing. And these are all ayat of the Quran Sharif which substantiate it. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in his ahadith also, so much of emphasis has been placed on this. And it is a scourge of our society. So many times we have heard that it's a scourge of the society. But who really bothers about it? It is only when the person is seriously affected by sicknesses or diseases, sexually transmitted, or when the person is, his barkat of his risk and sustenance is all gone, when there is great amount of turmoil in the family life, when the wife has discovered that this person is cheating behind her back, or is not loyal, or the husband has discovered that the wife is not loyal, thereafter the person then says, I'm sorry, but what is it going to happen? It's too late. The trust is gone. And then look at all the harm that has been mentioned of this zina. Adultery, fornication. So Hazrat Luqman alayhi salam says, total abstinence from zina. Person must not even go close to zina. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. So we must not even go close to it. That means the asbab of zina also we must make, must distance ourselves from it. Not that we purposely create the means of falling into zina. So all those things that lead a person to adultery, fornication, he must distance himself. If he really wants respect, dignity, if he wants izzat, as we say, then that is how he's going to get it. By doing these things, which Hazrat Luqman says, it made him reach those heights. Then Hazrat Luqman, alayhi salam, he says, that care for the neighbors, protect the neighbors. Now, where does he bring this protection of neighbors in there? He says, you must protect your neighbor. Now, this is one of the sifat, one of those attributes and one of those traits, he said, which made me reach these heights. Now, how much of wisdom there is in there? Because the person is closest to the neighbor. Now, the neighbor may have got a very pretty wife, he may have got pretty daughters, he may have got pretty young, beautiful young sons, depending on what that person's filthy inclinations are. Now, if he sees that the person is gone out of the house and he says, you look after my house. Now, this person can do a lot of things. He can damage the reputation. He can take away the respect and dignity and honor of those girls and boys that he was supposed to be taking care of. How many people got involved with their own neighbor's wives? Now, these things, we put it under the carpet and we forget about it. But the fact is that it is a reality. It is happening. Those who are dealing with cases, go and ask them. They will tell you how much of these type of relationships have taken place and how many marriages have been destroyed in the process. Those people who are supposed to be safeguarding the neighbors and those people who are supposed to be concerned about the rights of those neighbors, they became abusive. They were not able to look after. In fact, they did things which caused great amount of damage. So therefore this neighbors, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he gave so much of rights of neighbors, is that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala say that when Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam kept on coming, neighbors rights, we felt that he may even get a share in the inheritance. They may even get a share in the inheritance, that much he emphasized. So therefore, those people who have got neighbors, and those neighbors have got children, they've got young daughters, young boys, or the wives of those neighbors, or the neighbor is going out on a journey somewhere, so now the neighbor must not think that now this is a good opportunity to break into the house, because we know exactly that there's nobody in the house. The neighbor will definitely come to know there's nobody in the house next door. So if that person has got a drug habit, which is, has become very, very common issue, so now he has to fuel that drug habit. There has to be some kind of money to come so that he may be able to purchase those drugs. Now he knows the neighbor is gone. So instead of looking after the neighbor's property and his wealth, the person breaks into the neighbor's house. How much of this is happening? Now these were traits of the kuffar, mushrikeen, yahud, nasara, and those who have no belief in Allah Ta'ala and the day of judgment. If they did that, we'll say, well, they got no belief in the akhirat. But we're talking about the Muslims, and especially those who have now come out of the month of Ramadan. Therefore I mentioned, I don't know how many times now, that in the month of Ramadan, we were trying to remove all those dents that were on those cars and vehicles, our spiritual dents. That there are dents on our hearts. The dent of pride, arrogance, jealousy, malice, greed. All these type of dents come on our hearts. So Allah Ta'ala gave us 1 month of Ramadan to remove all those dents. Through our zikr, tilawat, ibadat, taraweeh, tahajjud, ishraq, what we made in the month of Ramadan. Now when all those dents are removed, what kind of an intelligent person is that? That if his car had a lot of dents and he gave it for removal to some panel beater, and when the panel beater removed all the dents and gave it to him in showroom condition, then he says, because there is a panel beater somewhere nearby, let me keep on smashing again. Then we'll say, look for the nearest asylum for this person. There's some screws loose in his head. So like that, we came out of Ramadan, so we must be now honest and truthful. Therefore, Hazrat Luqman alayhi salam said, there must be sadaqat. And I keep on saying this, sadaqat must be in our zahir and batin. Our outward sometimes demonstrate a great amount of honesty and truthfulness and piety and taqwa. But that is our outward. But what is inside? Allah Ta'ala looks at the inside. The outward is extremely important and necessary. The aeroplane will not take off if it doesn't have tires also. The tire is a very small part of the aeroplane and it's outside. But put one massive jumbo jet and say there's no tires only, that's all. And tell the aeroplane to take off. Will it ever take off? So we need the outside also. So many people say, what's the need of the zahir? What's the need of the zahir? There's a great need of the zahir. If somebody has to tell a person that is looking for a bride, that her heart is very good condition her heart is. But just that her face is totally disfigured and burnt. And the face is just the zahir and outward. So what's your problem in marrying her now? So why doesn't he marry her? So just like that, the batin and zahir both are necessary, but Allah Ta'ala looks at the batin, which unfortunately we have neglected. So therefore this month of Ramadan had given us a kind of an opportunity to remove those dents of our lives. So now we must indicate properly and correctly, as I mentioned in one of the majlis in Ramadan, towards the end, that now we must indicate correctly that when there's a car and a vehicle that's traveling on the road, we have two kinds of cars. One is indicating right and one is indicating left. So everybody knows exactly in which direction this person is going. If he's going right, so his indicator will show right. So the person knows that I must not go in that direction because he's turning right. And if the person is turning left, then we all know, well, he's turning left because he's indicating in that direction. But then we have some people who are confused. They really don't know which direction they are turning. 1 minute the indicator is showing right, 1 minute left, right, left, right, left. Now the person behind him is all confused too. He doesn't know which direction this person will turn. So through the month of Ramadan with our zikr, tilawat, ibadat, tawbah, istighfar, now we must indicate correctly that whether we're going to be turning right or left. Because the people now want to see that what is this person going to be doing in his life? Is he going to be going in the right direction or again left direction or sometime right, sometime left? He doesn't know which way he's going. Meaning that if this person was in aitikaf, the person was in namaz, zikr, tilawat, taraweeh, fasting and is a Muslim, then it is expected that now his dealings will be right, his akhlaq will be good, his morals will be right, his etiquette will be right, he will be honest, he will be truthful, he will be upright, he will be fulfilling the rights of all, he's going in the right direction. And those who are kuffar, mushrikeen, yahood, nasara, munafiqeen, we know they're going in the wrong direction or the left direction. But then what about the people that are sometimes going right and sometimes left, they're indicating this side, that side. So the people will be confused. They will not know how to deal with this person. On the one hand, they will think that this person was in namaz, roza, zakat, taraweeh, fasting and ibadat and i'tikaf and everything. So therefore he must be honest now and turning right. But if that person is then suddenly putting the indicator towards the left and is going to the cinemas, theaters, discos, dishonesty, cheating, fraud, hijacking and all kinds of things, then it will mean that this person is a confused person. He doesn't know which way to indicate. So therefore, the Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam is emphasizing this truthfulness. Therefore, he says, looking after the neighbor. Now, this is the point that I was talking about, that looking after the neighbor, that the person is expected to be honest, truthful. He must have his integrity, piety, taqwa, that if a neighbor says, I'm going now on a journey, and my daughter's at home alone, or my wife is alone at home, then that neighbor doesn't even think of any kind of haram or any kind of illicit relationship or any kind of other backdoor thing. The person is straightforward. He believes that this is my neighbor, has a great right over me. My Allah is watching. Now look at what a hikmat thing he mentioned. Then he said, control of the tongue. He said, control of the tongue. Now this is a great sifat of a mu'min, that he exercises control over that tongue. The tongue Allah Ta'ala gave us for speech, for business purposes, to recite the Quran Sharif, to make zikrullah, to talk nicely, politely, gently, softly, happily, cheerfully with our wife, with our children, with our family members, with our friends, with our society. So many things we can do with this tongue. We can read our kalima. So many things we can do. But if the person has got no control over this tongue, then believe me, the chaos and havoc that it is causing in society is unreal, unreal. The number of family breakdowns, the major cause of that has been the tongue. Now, there can be some dispute. Now, to resolve that dispute, you have some mechanism, bring somebody to mediate, arbitrate, do something. But when there is an abuse of the tongue, and the person is lashing out vulgar language, swearing and cursing and all kinds of things, then that hurt which is caused on the heart, it doesn't heal quickly. You say, that person told me this, he said that. So therefore, control of the tongue, he says, that is another sifat. So these were some of the things he says, I did. These were some of the a'mal. And then tark of ma la ya'ni. That means that which is useless, that which is not of any benefit, that which is futile, that which does not help a person in this world or in the hereafter in any way. It's nothing that will help his physical body or his spiritual self in any way. Nothing of real substance. Then he must withhold his tongue from such kind of speech or that such kind of action. There are lots of actions that we engage in. And as it is such a hype now of 2010, now whenever that 2010 will come, it will come. But already there are so many different kinds of cups. Although we don't even get one small tumbler from all those. They don't even give us one small teacup. They talk of the big cups, golden cups. But has anybody given us one teacup after watching all the cup finals we watch? Which teacup we got from there? So the uselessness, futility of that. Rather do something. If the person is a doctor, then do some research on medicine. Come up with some kind of scientific research. The person has got some other skill. Is an engineer or is whatever he may be in whichever field he is. Do some research, read up those books, go onto the internet and search up through those engines, any information that is valuable, useful. Let us make something, come up with something that will be useful and beneficial to mankind at large or humanity at large. Why should we leave all the inventions and discoveries and everything only for those who got no Iman and no Islam? We always talk about the Muslims were in the forefront, So where are the Muslims now whom Allah Ta'ala has given that skill? Those who don't have it, they don't have it. But those who have got the skill, they're excellent surgeons, they're excellent doctors, they're excellent scientists, they're excellent in all other fields, in engineering, in they are electricians, or they are professionals in other ways and forms. So now why don't they go further instead of wasting all their time just on television watching the cups? So this is something that brings us back onto the ground and doesn't allow us to take off. Whether we have another 2 months or 6 months of Ramadan, then we remain same place. So my message for today is this, that the month of Ramadan has passed, but we haven't passed away as yet. We are still in this world. So therefore the life that remains now, let us make it a useful life, a life that is full of meaning, full of purpose, help to mankind, to humanity, to people around us, and to live a life of piety, of taqwa, of closeness to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so that we enjoy the best of both worlds. I mentioned that at present we have in the markets also the bread, they call it best of both worlds, because they got some brown flour in there and some white flour in there. So they say it's best of both worlds. So let us do that which will give us the best of both worlds. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, hardship, pain, suffering and problem of mankind around the globe, and especially that of the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. Bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.